The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
And I've got three people with me here in Greenacres who know all about Wexford and what it has to offer. I've got Paul Walsh from Wex Walks Tours. I've got Vicky Barron, the Labour councillor from Wexford and the principal at CBS Primary School here in town. And Eddie Taff, who's chairperson of the FLA and the CEO of Wexford County Council. You're all very welcome. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Thanks for
joining us. Paul, can I ask you first, is it true that Henry II did his penance for Thomas à Becket just around the corner?
Now, look, at Henry II was here in Wexford, absolutely. There's the whole thing about the ghost story about Henry II.
Oh, go on, tell me that.
All right, okay. So the story goes that Henry II was above in Cessgrabby, which is about 60 metres away from us here, all right? And that he was doing penance for the death of his best friend, Thomas à Becket. Why was he doing penance? Because he killed him himself, okay? And the story goes at night that when it's dark and the moon is high in the sky and the ravens are in the trees, do you see a man all in white with a white hood running through Cessgrabby? He dramatically puts his hands up to heaven and he says "Is culpa me," which is Latin for "it was my fault." Now the dates don't make sense, so we won't let the truth get in the way of a good story, right? But he was definitely here in 1172. Does it make total sense when Cessgrabby opened? No, but there is actually a big train of thought now that there was a wooden church on that site beforehand, so that's very well where he would have been. Well, it's the first thing a king would do when he get off a boat. He would pray for a safe arrival. So it does make sense from that point.
But actually, Cessgrabby as well, it's an interesting manifestation of the history of this part of the world, isn't there? Because I understand that, you know, that there's maybe some evidence that there was a kind of a Norse temple on the site. There was certainly kind of ancient, sure, pre-Norse kind of a Gaelic Christian evidence of kind of presence on the site as well. And then you've got that kind of post-Norman invasion abbey.
Well, this is it. I mean, there is some level of evidence that there was a Celtic temple there, some level of evidence that there was also the Viking temple there, then some sort of wooden church structure, and now the abbey as well. And of course, the abbey goes back. There was a synod of bishops there in medieval times, so the formation of the modern Irish Catholic Church, a lot of it happened around Cessgrabby. And also, of course, there's also the rumour that that's where the first Anglo-Irish treaty was signed between Dermot McMurrah and the Norman Knights. They certainly would have been on that site. And of course, Wexford was built out from Cessgrabby. That area, Cessgrabby, means seal rock in Viking. So a major reason the Vikings stayed here actually was the seals, because back then they were a food source. They were for, their oil was used in lamps and their skin was used to make.
Oh, so all that land down in front of the abbey hadn't been reclaimed yet?
So Wexford was quite small. So if anyone knows the town where the Pikeman is now, that's actually where the prehistoric beach was. So Wexford was really only two streets, but at the time Dublin was only four streets and Kilkenny was only three. So that was the size of a city back then, you know.
To what extent then is Wexford today a descendant of that, of the kind of the Viking? Obviously, the name is what we think of maybe in terms of the Viking tradition, but is it more of a medieval town?
Well, I think we very much have Viking attitudes still here, you know.
Oh, really?
We're also lazy that we're nearly vertical all the time, and nobody can deny that, right? That comes from the Vikings.
Maybe that's the problem with the hurling.
Maybe it is, yeah. We need to stop being Viking and be more Norman like the Kilkenny lads. They don't know. But it certainly does come from that. The blue eyes come from that. We have a lot of Viking names here still. You have your Cods, your Sinnots, your Cars, all those names. But of course, the town does look very Norman, very French. You have your winding streets. We have 70% of our town wall left. That was finished up in the 15th century. It's been there since 1350, but finished up in the 1500s. There's 70% of that right in the middle of town. And I think we're all so used to it. We don't even look at it anymore. That's just the wall, you know. Yeah. Special things become very ordinary after a while. But the town has a big hodgepodge of cultural influences. It's not like other medieval towns that are inland maybe or in the Midlands where it was all Celts. We had people come from France. We had people come from Scandinavia. We had people from all over the world. We have a huge link with Savannah, Georgia, which always surprises people. Mm-hmm. When the boats left here, our remit was with Savannah, Georgia. So at the moment, Georgia Southern University are actually building a campus here in town, and they're putting accommodation in and all the rest of it. So it's always been a melting of minds here. I think it's why Wexford's so relaxed and why there's such a lovely feeling to it, because we've always welcomed outsiders here, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I know up in New Ross as well with the Dunbrody, they really lean into that Savannah, Georgia link as well in terms of where that ship would have plied its trade. But speaking of Wexford names, Vicky Barron is with us as well. Isn't it amazing, Vicky? I always think this, and you can actually distill it down to kind of almost the parish level. For all the movement of people in Ireland and how small the country's gotten because of, you know, infrastructure and the motorway network. You could show most people, again, I'll go back to Gaelicase, a team sheet and cover the name. And not only will they tell you what county it's from, people will tell you probably what club it is.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm a Clancy, but is my maiden name. I'm married, obviously, and Baron. If you go to Adamstown, which is a small little parish, the first barons arrived there, which we believe my husband is descended from, came from Spain in the 1700s and settled. And they are one of the first entries in the baptismal register there. So it's an interesting piece of history for us as well. But yes, there's lots of names that are still synonymous with the town and the surrounding areas. And lots of people, I suppose, are true proud yellow bellies and they'll carry that with them forever.
Eddie, what is the thing that makes Wexford most special in your mind?
Well, it's very hard to pin down what it is. I think, first of all, Wexford people are the friendliest people in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I think we have the best beaches, the best landscape mm-hmm. in Ireland. And if you're sick of beaches, we have mountains as well. So we have something for everybody here. But I think it's the people that make it. People are very relaxed, very welcoming, very friendly, very down to earth. And I think that's what makes it.
What's your favourite beach in Wexford?
I couldn't say. I have about five or six. I have a beach for, depending on the weather. If the weather is sunny, Carraclough is a great beach.
Yes.
Rosslare is a great beach for winter. Kilmore Quay and the marina is great, you know, for nighttime for a walk around. Cahor, if you want to go for a walk on the beach and get something to eat in the Strand pub. There's something there for everybody, and it just depends on the mood you're in.
Because would you believe I was on Carraclough for the first time in my whole life, only about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We were down with the team in Blackwater and we camped overnight and we all went down to Carraclough before going into Wexford Park. And it is an absolutely beautiful beach. That kind of from there northwards, I would associate with Dublin tourism. A lot of people coming from that part of the country down. Is that fair?
Yeah, we will get a lot of visitors from Dublin. It's the closest part of the county to Dublin, and they would traditionally go along that coast. But then we have people from all over coming, and we have people even coming from Kilkenny because you know, they like to see a bit of sunshine when they come to Wexford. So we have people from all over yesterday, actually.
Vicky, where then do you go to spend free time in Wexford?
It depends on my mood, really. I mean, there's so much to do. Like, so if you were just to focus on Wexford Town, you've got the Quayfront. And on a sunny day, as we have today, you need to go for a walk down there. It is almost like being on any part of the continent. Like, I would firmly assert that you don't need to go foreign to enjoy Ireland. Come to the sunny southeast. It's gorgeous. It's warm. As we said, we're friendly people. But like that, the walks on the Quayfront, we are so close to the coast in almost every town that we're in. Mm-hmm. The beaches are great depending on what you want to do. Like, we have a great tradition with our youngsters of crab fishing, and you can do that almost anywhere. Around about there, we've parks, and as Eddie said, we've mountains. Like, if you go out to Barrentown, there's Carrigfoyle up there, there's Carrigburn. There's so many lovely walking trails, walking places to go. There's no excuse for you not to get out and about in Wexford because we have so much on offer here in our county.
Eddie, I mean, Do we overlook sometimes the tourist offering, not just the southeast, but maybe the east coast as well? The Wild Atlantic Way and all that has been a wildly successful venture. But and it struck me, it was only yesterday we were in the Arboretum, the JFK Park, and we were walking through it, and I said to my brother, and I said, if this was in Killarney or somewhere, would people be singing its praises? I think it'd be a much better known amenity.
Yeah, I think so. I think we do overlook it because it's so close to home as well. But we're working very hard as a local authority with Falch Ireland to raise awareness of that. And we have a significant plan. We're about to launch the destination experience plan that will highlight all of the attractions that we have, but also all of the investment that we need to bring them to the next level. So we have significant investment in some of our attractions like the Heritage Park, the Hookhead, and the Dunbrody, and the New Norman Centre in New Ross. So we do want to attract more people to the county and to the southeast, and more overseas visitors as well. And we're working very closely, as I say, with Falch Ireland on that to raise awareness, because I think sometimes we do forget. And the reality of it is, if you take Wexford, the climate is a lot better than we think it is. Okay, we do get the odd rainy day in summertime, but by and large, the weather here is really, really good. We had fantastic weather for the FLA last year. We had a bit of drizzle one day, but the rest of the week, it was fantastic, and it really made for a great experience here last year.
The difficulty, though, I guess, in convincing some of those overseas visitors, particularly the Americans, is that they tend to, in their mind, lean into maybe the tourist offering that the West provides, isn't it? That, you know, again, I mentioned the Heritage Park, right, which is an absolutely brilliant, brilliant facility that I'd strongly recommend to anyone. There'd be a certain amount of American visitors who want to do the Bunratty thing because in their mind, this is the Ireland my family left, as it were. You know what I mean? And the John Hind postcard view of Ireland.
Yeah, and you need
that's
to...
That's the challenge you guys face, I guess, is kind of convincing them that there's another Ireland, there's a whole other history here that you can tap into.
Absolutely, and what we want to do is build attractions here of scale. And it won't, a single attraction won't bring people, but if you have a cluster of them, and that's why we have a project called Wexfordia, where we will cluster three attractions which will make a couple of days' worth of visit for everybody, and there'll be something in that for everybody to actually divert off that well-worn path, if you like, from Dublin to Killarney or Dublin to Galway, and to actually come to the southeast. But we do need to have, you know, world-class attractions, and that's what we're striving to achieve here. And we have significant plans for those attractions over the next number of years.
We've got so many recommendations. Go walking on Forth Mountain or horse riding if you prefer for somebody else. I wouldn't even know where to put the petrol in a horse. Anyway, Ferrybank Caravan Park over the bridge in Wexford behind the Riverbank Hotel is an absolutely fabulous site. I'd highly recommend it to Stephen from Carlo. Morris Castle Beach in Kilmuckridge is amazing, says Andrew. Somebody's talking about the windmill at Tom Haggard. I'm currently down in Feathered with the family and our dog Bruno. Do you have any dog friendly recommendations for restaurants or activities? That's from Anthony. Has anyone here?
Johnstown Castle, they have the Peacock Cafe that dogs are very welcome into. So that's just one that I know of.
There you are, Johnstown Castle. That's an OPW site, isn't it?
It is.
That's one of their... One of... Six OPW sites in Wexford.
I'll defer that to Eddie.
I think.
Yeah, I think we have a number of them. I couldn't say exactly.
Anyway, yeah.
I think.
So anyway, there you are, Anthony. If you're still listening, the Peacock Cafe at Johnstown Castle. Check out Cullenstown Beach in the Shell House overlooking Seine. There's also a plaque commemorating several World War II bomb disposal soldiers from the Curragh who died in an explosion located at the Handball Alley there. And of course, down at Camp Isle, there was an actual. A bomb landed during the Second World War as well. So, I mean, another element of the history of this county maybe that people don't know about. Raven Point Forest and the Saving Private Ryan Beach Walk is beautiful. I think that's where they're building the golf course around Raven Point as well, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. The new one. So, Paul, when you're bringing people through Wexford on the walking tours, I mean, beyond the ghost of Henry II running amok there up at the ruins, what are the other highlights for people?
Well, look, we're very lucky here in town. We actually have a number of our medieval graveyards left, and most of them have their churches in it, and they're all accessible to me. Some of them are actually accessible to the public every day at the moment, which is a great thing in the last couple of years. We have a Tudor house here in Wexford that was the Senate during 1798. It's where Penny's is, if anybody doesn't know that. It's actually the Senate from 1798, Hollick Henny. We have the first ever Bank of Ireland down on the quay. We have a protected structure called a ballast bank down there, which you can very clearly see from the quay front. It has a massive history to it. In the town as well, we've an awful lot of old buildings, churches. We've two Pugin churches, the famous twin steeples of Wexford, both built by Augustine Pugin just a few years before he died. The local parish priest, Father Roach, had a dream when he was 11 that there was twin spires as he came on a boat to Wexford, and that's where they came from. So there's a lot to do. I do an hour and 10 minutes of a tour, and really I could do a 7-hour tour if I wanted to, and I wouldn't even have to try.
Well, what are the things that most surprise foreign visitors?
I think it's how much
tour.
Of the medieval city is left, number one. And number two, and something we kind of haven't talked about yet, is the amount of culture in Wexford, because, of course, Wexford's home to the National Opera House. Also, you have the Wexford Arts Centre. Everybody in Wexford, I have a friend called Phil Lyons. I know the lads probably know him. He's the ex-probation officer here in town, but he's a poet and a playwright. And he always says, Wexford's the only place in the world where you sit down, everybody's writing a play, or a song, or an aria, or playing the flute, or learning the violin, or doing a dance, or joining the mummers, or doing something. We really have that. And that's another great thing. When you go to places all around the country, some of the music in pubs is good, some of it's bad. In Wexford, it's excellent.
Like, you know what they say, everyone has a novel in them, and for some, that's where it should remain.
Where it should remain, but in Wexford, they're all novels that should be read, right? But there's so much here. It really is a great place, and I suppose what Eddie has done, what the council have done of lately, is show people the embarrassment of riches we have. For a long time, people stayed in Wexford for a night, I think, and then they would go to Kilkenny for the day or Waterford for the day and come back.
Yes.
Whereas now, you could get up in the morning at 9 o'clock, not stop till 9 o'clock at night, and still have five more days worth of stuff to see in the county.
Well, Eddie, talk to me a little bit then about how the town centre here has been kind of reimagined and laid out in terms of the pedestrianisation as well, because you know, we're in a magnificent cultural space in Green Acres, but with that pedestrianisation, the whole town really becomes a cultural space. Like, how difficult has that been to manage?
Yeah, that's taken a number of years to deliver. I was fortunate enough to be involved in it years ago when I was with the Borough Council. But we envisaged that the town would have kind of three spines or three areas to it. So the amenity spine is the Quayfront and the Quayfront extension with the views out over Wexford Harbour, and that's a beautiful space. Then there's what we call the retail or the commercial spine, which is our narrow main street. Our main street is actually longer than Grafton Street. It's 1,000 metres long. We pedestrianised it and paved it a number of years ago, and it's been a fantastic success. Mm. And then we have what we call the cultural spine, which is obviously the arts centre, the likes of Selsker and the Opera House, and also the churches as well, so that people will have the best of everything there within, you know, a very medieval space and quite a short distance. So it's a very walkable town. It's a fantastic town, but it's about that quality of space and about investing in public realm. But it's not just enough to invest in it. We have to keep it clean. We have to keep it as clean as possible. We clean the streets here. Our staff clean the streets here before anybody arrives in. They're come and gone by 7 o'clock in the morning every morning. And you know, so it's, you have to keep up that effort. You have to keep the quality of it, because it's about making spaces attractive that first of all brings people in, but also keeps them here. And that's what makes the town vibrant.
And the other thing you've got to keep doing as well, I guess, Vicky, is constantly re-upping the offer to people. So, like Eddie's mentioned, the FLA and the Opera Festival and what have you. And I promise this isn't going to be 3 hours of comparing Kilkenny and Wexford as the two places I know. But
Wexford would win.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Not at the Harland, but at everything else.
Yeah, maybe.
We're working on that fault.
In terms of the weather, we'll give it to you today. Slightly overcast when I left. Anyway, you know, Kilkenny has a good job as well of kind of continually reinventing the different festivals that are happening, you know, and it's something Wexford does really well as well.
It does.
Those festivals are known all over the country. But there's lots of towns of similar size in Ireland that don't do that type of thing. And it's an important thing, I guess, that you keep having to work on that.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's the creative input that's around. Yeah. So if you look at Enniscorthy, we had the Strawberry Festival, and now that's the Rocking Beats or the Rockin' Food Festival, reinventing itself all of the time, changing the focus, bringing the arts into everything. And I suppose that's what Wexford County is really good at, is the arts and promoting the arts. Like even our main street is, as Eddie said, it's gorgeous. You can walk the whole length of it. And if you look at families trying to come to places where they want to keep their children, like the main street on Wexford and any of our towns actually is it's flat, tiny few hills, but you can keep your children with you. There's lots to see, lots to do, and it's a really, really safe place. They can't go anywhere except the length of the main street. It's a wonderful walk. The pedestrianisation is fantastic. The cleanliness of our streets is something to be very proud of. We have a wonderfully active Tidy Towns group in our town, and in all our towns actually, and they do a wonderful job of supplementing the work. And they offer advice to the council on things like our laneways project that's going on at the moment, where in any town you have laneways that maybe are not kept the best. We have lots of really wonderful laneways, wonderful art projects now that are fully lit in the evenings. We're fighting dereliction at every opportunity, and our main street is looking amazing.
You know, one of my first jobs was scuffling lanes for Kilkenny County Council.
So
I'm available for work now, Vicky, if you need it, over the summer. Listen, I know you're going to come back after 5 o'clock with your principal's hat on and talk a little bit more about this survey about kids on smartphones. So we look forward to that, Vicky, and thanks a million. Paul Walsh from Wex Walks Tours, thank you very much, Paul. It's been a real pleasure. And Eddie Taft, chairperson of the FLA and the CEO of Wexford County Council.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.